Well, I thank you very much, and thank all of you for being here tonight. And if you are visiting with us, and we certainly want you to know that you're welcome, and we hope that you'll come again. And Pearline, it's good to have you here tonight with us and your friend. And I've been talking to these folks about Jesus and about our Lord, and they said they couldn't come on. They work actually out at Legacy, and so unable to come on Sunday morning, but they said, we'll come Sunday night. And I said, well, we have services, and we'll be delighted to have you come, and we really appreciate your being here. You know, all of us read in the Bible that people give advice, and they take advice. Mind you, there are fewer that take advice than those who give it. And when you read the Holy Scriptures, you recognize that there were some who were given advice and did not take it, however. And there were those that received advice favorably and were blessed as a result of it. Now, tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about advice. Advice is important. I've listed a number of things here that are really so important in life. Supporting and helping people and actually assisting them and guiding them and offering advice where advice is needed. But why is it so important for us to ask for help? You know, a lot of times in life, we just assume that people don't care anything about us. A lot of times we assume that other people are not moved by perhaps the way that we live our lives. But we need advice. Some people don't really want advice. They just want you to listen to them complain. I've seen that a lot in life, in my own life, dealing with people. And so we have to really be very, very careful about that. In the book of Proverbs 18, verse 1, King Solomon said, some people like to do things their own way, and then they get upset when other people give them advice. Well, that advice may not be good advice. You know, I've always said that you have to take advice and weigh it and determine whether or not it is something that is worthy of using, or do you just blow that advice off? A lot of people, however, will not listen to what other people say. In Proverbs 28 and verse 20, it is a foolish thing, listen to what it says, a foolish thing to be confident those who ask for advice are wise and will escape disaster. I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, I've sought advice from different people about various things. And I really chose to believe that some of those things were warranted and what they said was good. And but sometimes I've not always accepted the advice of other people because I didn't consider it to be something that was worthy of acceptation. Now, when you read the Holy Scriptures, like I said, there are those who are confronted, and this is a real danger, with bad advice. What happens if you are given bad advice and you follow through with it and it causes you heartache? That's why I say you have to be very, very careful about advice. And I'm telling you, there's always someone out there ready to give it to you, free of charge, whether you want it or whether you don't. Now, be open to advice from anyone, but never, never, listen to what he says, never, but never on advice blindly. And sometimes we take advice blindly. I think you have to, first of all, consider the fact, who's it come from? Who offers advice? I wouldn't want advice from someone that's not a Christian. I want to follow God's word, and I know that there's that potential for people that are not Christians to even consider what you ought to do without recognizing what the Holy Scripture says. You know, people used to read Dear Abby. You remember that when people used to, or Ann Landers, and people would read those advice columns. And how many of you listen to Dr. Phil? Anybody in here? You know, a lot of people think Dr. Phil has all the answers. You know, if you want to take care of your life and be able to deal with the problems and the issues at hand, just follow Dr. Phil. Well, I don't think that he is the best one to be taking advice from. I'm not saying the man's not intelligent and that he offers good advice at times, but everything that man says or whatever falls from his lips may not necessarily be the right kind of advice. Now, I like this little slide because it really depicts what's going on. You know, the Bible addresses a lot of things about our mind. On one shoulder, you have the devil who is trying to advise you. And then on the other hand, you have some kind of angelic force, or perhaps maybe even God himself, trying to advise you about how you are to live your life. Who do you follow in life? Who do you follow? In the book of Leviticus 19 and verse 31, the scripture says, "Do not go to mediums or wizard or look into the crystal ball for advice. They will only make you unclean, for God says, I am the Lord your God." He is the one that we ought to be going to. You see, I don't place a lot of emphasis upon luck. But that's kind of the little disclaimer that we talk about a lot, and it's something that we say to one another. Instead of saying, "Well, God bless you," we say, "Well, good luck." Well, I'm thankful that we don't have to live our lives based upon luck, but that God is leading us and guiding us and bringing us into relationships that are in keeping and harmony with his will. You see, expert advice comes from this book I hold in my hand, from the Holy Scriptures. And that's why I give you so many scriptures on Sunday morning and Sunday night, hoping you would go to those and read those and find out what the Bible says about given subjects. Advice is something, like I said, that people are so quick to give. They don't know your life. They don't know anything about you sometimes, and sometimes people advise you to do things. And, you know, it's bad advice. We have a young woman that's on trial right now. And anyway, for killing her three children. And she's saying that she heard a voice, and this male voice was telling her that she needed to kill her children. And some people say, well, she's having psychosis. She's having all kinds of issues. Well, I'm telling you, you listen to the wrong people, and it won't be long until you find yourselves in horrible situations. In the book of Job, and Job was one of the great writers, he could tell you about his life and what went on with him. And in Job 22 and 18, he says, "No, I would never follow the advice of evil people." 1 Kings 12 and verse 8. But Rehoboam did not listen to the advice of the older men. He asked the young men who were his friends. Now, that was what caused the division of the kingdom in the Old Testament between Israel and Judah. And he acted upon bad advice. And so bad advice led to the ruination of those who were trying to please and honor God. And then in Proverbs 1 and verse 25, Solomon writes and says, "You ignored my advice and refused to be corrected." I'm going to tell you something. You'll never hear me give you advice without weighing it in light of what the Holy Scripture says. Just not going to do it. I want to give you the right advice. I want to help you get to heaven. I want to help you escape the jaws of eternal hell. And in 1 Kings 22 and 5, the scripture says, "But first, let's ask the Lord for advice." Isn't that what we ought to do first? You know, sometimes people come to me and they have various issues. And I say, "Well, what have you done about it?" "Well, I've prayed about it." "What have you prayed? What do you want God to do about it?" In 1 Kings 22 and 5, go to the Lord and ask him. And I'm telling you, I really believe that God will show us what we are to do. God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggles, and a reward for your faithfulness. Don't give up. You know, Those three little words are so important. Don't give up. You just keep on keeping on. And you keep on doing the will of God, and God will see you through. Job 12 and 13, but wisdom and power belong unto God, and good advice and understanding are His. Now think about that. The advice that we want is that which comes from our Lord that made heaven and the earth. And Proverbs 27 and verse 9, perfume and incense make you feel good. How many of y'all are wearing perfume tonight? Anybody? Y'all got it? No, that's why you smell so good. Okay. But anyway, you may be wearing perfume tonight, and Solomon is right. Perfume and incense make you feel good, and so does good advice from a friend. How do you know whether a friend is offering you good advice? Well, that friend, first of all, has to be trusted. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future, Proverbs 19 and verse 10. You see, the very thing that you may be dealing with tonight may be something that you'll be dealing with again tomorrow, or maybe next week or next month. And how do you deal with it? It is so important, isn't it? James 5, verse 7 and 8 says, therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, and see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently, he says, for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Now, right now, we're a little impatient because we want God to send rain. We've been praying about it, and we want God to send it today. I thought it was coming this morning. We had a few sprinkles on our windshield, but God chose not to do that, and there is a reason for it. God is the one who makes it rain on the just and the unjust. And so we have to wait patiently until we receive the early and the latter rain. You also should be patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. How do you know the difference between good and bad advice? Like I said, there's always someone out there ready to give you bad advice. And there's someone out there to give you good advice. But how should we live our lives based upon what James says? He says, be patient, therefore. How patient are you tonight as an individual? He says that we're to be patient unto the coming of the Lord, James 5. That means that we are to be waiting on God. You know, John closes the book of Revelation with these words, we will wait, but come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, is what that word divers mean, knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye be but that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But then he mentions something else, not only being patient, but he says, establish your heart, James 5 and verse 8. How many of you are established in Christ tonight? I wouldn't lay my head on the pillow tonight if I was not established in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says we are to look for the day of the Lord. Does it ever cross your mind in a day's time, the coming of Jesus Christ? And how often does it occur to you that he may come in your lifetime? He may come today, may come tomorrow. It could happen at any time. And then he says that we are to hasten the day of the Lord. You know what that means? That means that we are to look forward to it, and we just can't wait. You know, when you think about going to heaven, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it? And someone said to me today, I can't wait to get to heaven. To think about all the trials of this life are over, and all the heartaches that I'm having to go through and that I might experience here will long be gone. And so anyway, he mentions in 1 Corinthians 11, he says that we're to proclaim the Lord's death. Now, that's why we take the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. And we have men that wait on the table and distribute the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine for those who want to participate in the Lord's Supper. And because in that very act, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. I want you to notice, a lot of times people say, well, he's proclaiming the death and the resurrection. Not so. He doesn't say that. But he says, you will show forth his death until he comes. We are to be complete in God's work. I want to know that when the Lord comes, I have finished the work that he has given me to do. It is greater than secular employment. It is more important than anything else that I do the works of God. And Jesus said in John 9, verse 4, that I must do the works of him while it is yet day, for the night comes when no man can work. We have to be sincere. You look at all those things in the book of James and Philippians and the book of Corinthians that he talks about how we are to live our life. Be sincere. There's so many people today, even preaching, that are not sincere in what they are preaching. Be without offense, if possible. Paul says, live peaceably with all men, as much as in you is. We are to get right with God, John 6. If we're not right with God, you better get right with him. And it's important that you get right with him before you close your eyes in sweet slumber. And then we are to keep his commandments. His commandments, the Bible says, are not grievous. It is important that we keep his commands. And so until the coming of the Lord, we are to commit our souls to the Lord. For one day he will come again, Revelation 1, verse 8 and following. But are you ready? That's the question, isn't it? Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? If Christ were to burst the clouds of heaven, and he would come with all of his holy angels, would you be ready? Dwight had it on the sign this week, another sign. There's a great sign. A lot of people spoke about it. It's so true. You're one day closer to eternity. Are you ready to meet God? In Psalms 106, verse 13, the Bible says, but they quickly forgot about what he did, what God did. How quickly we all forget. And they did not listen to good advice. We have to seek God and his guidance. That, to me, is so important. And you may be here tonight. You may be a Christian, but maybe you haven't sought the guidance of God. Maybe you thought about getting your sins remitted when you were baptized and when you committed your life to Christ, but did you commit to walk in his way? You see, when a person makes a commitment to God, it's not just a commitment that says, hey, I'll come to church. It's much, much deeper than that. It is saying, I want to commit my way unto him. Solomon said many years ago, to commit thy way unto the Lord. And that's what God is asking each and every one of us to do and to allow him to guide us. That's what brings about repentance, isn't it? When a person says, hey, I want to be a Christian, I want to be baptized, I want to repent of my sins and turn my life over to Jesus. Think about it. The Bible in the book of John, the 3rd chapter, describes that relationship as a new birth. Well, what if you go down into the water and you come up out of the water and you've made no changes in your life? Have you experienced a new birth? No, you just got wet. That's all. Now, we're here tonight to help you understand the will of Jehovah God for your own life. And I hope tonight that if you're not a Christian, that you would consider obeying Christ and doing his will. And if you are a Christian, I would hope, as we mentioned this morning, the importance of recommitting your life to Jesus and doing it tonight while we stand and while we sing.